brother, brother. Well, welcome back to the Drew Marshall Show. We are live in the studio with our next guest. Trevor Brisbane is here today. Theologian, can I call this guy a theologian? I think so. He's a pastor at the Progressive Faith Collective, and he's going to talk a little bit more about that. And we're about to dig into the four R's. Trevor, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, really good to be here, David. Thank you for having me.
So it's progressive, it's a collective. What is those two things and faith have to do with each other?
Yeah, well, moving back recently, moved back from California after finishing some additional studies. And when I got back here, looked around Toronto and just saw there was no real sense of a place that fit for our family, my wife, and we have three kids. We come out of an evangelical background.
And by place, you mean like a church?
Church community. Of faith, right, whatever you want to describe it, yeah. So we come out of an evangelical background. I was an evangelical, conservative evangelical minister for 15 years in the greater Toronto area. And when we came back, we sort of realized that there were a lot of, you know, great progressive mainline churches, but none that sort of spoke evangelical, none that kind of, you know, talked to our souls the way that, you know, sang the kind of songs, had the liturgy that we were familiar with. So when we lived in Los Angeles, California, we had found this great church that was very progressive, inclusive, you know, doing some great theological work, but they felt evangelical. It was kind of this place for recovering fundamentalists and evangelicals. And so when we got back to Toronto, we realized there's nothing really like that here. I actually got a call from a gay couple in Colorado who was moving to Toronto, and they're like, we need a church, and, you know, we want something that feels kind of like our roots but isn't so, you know, high church or mainline, so to speak. So just started dreaming, and with some friends, we've started this thing called Progressive Faith Collective. We have very low ambitions but just want to be a place of belonging and refuge, recovery, relationship, and reflection.
When I hear the name Trevor Brisbane, I usually think of low ambition, actually. It's the first thing that comes to mind.
My mom says mediocrity.
Right. And I do want to talk about what a BHP is a little later on, but I think we need to dial into that part of the conversation, because when you were in LA, you met some pretty interesting people and stepped into some new worlds, from what I understand. Trevor, what is a recovering fundamentalist?
I think it's someone who has kind of delved deeply into this sort of container called religion or spirituality, mm-hmm. where everything was already thought through for them. They had a doctrinal statement that they had to agree with, and everything was already kind of laid out, and all they had to do was agree to that and hold consensus. So a fundamentalist, and it's not just conservative, it can be progressive, it can be liberal, is someone who is bound to a set of beliefs or doctrines or ideologies where there's no room to move beyond it or question the status quo.
So do fundamentalists not, do they not ask questions? Is that what, you don't mean that. Is it about the type of question maybe they ask?
Yeah, so it's they're allowed to ask the question, they're just not allowed to ask the question out loud.
Mm.
Right? So, and if you do ask the question, I mean, so I graduated from did a graduate degree at a fairly conservative seminary, and one of the things you had to do when you went into the seminary is sign a doctoral statement that you agreed with these statements before your sort of academic endeavor even began. So when you have to agree when you begin, you know where you're going to come out. And a lot of faith communities are like that. I mean, every church that sort of defines itself by its ideology or its doctrinal statement, it's kind of like, don't think beyond or don't think bigger than this.
So those are not the non-negotiables.
Non-negotiables. The fundamentals, if
right,
you will.
Right. So would you say you're more of a negotiable kind of guy now? You've used the word inclusive a couple times. Is it about affirming? Is it about embracing? Is it about sort of creating an open space where people can be themselves, right?
Yeah.
And ask those really difficult, tough questions.
Yeah, the beautiful thing about Progressive Faith Collective is we started out as a sort of place where I assumed sort of recovering fundamentalists would come and explore, Christian fundamentalists would come and explore, and we could ask questions and sort of together go on this journey. But what I'm discovering is the more we meet, we have secular humanists coming out, we have Muslims coming out, or recovering Muslims. And it's sort of more of a place for those of us who have been deeply shaped by conservative religion, whatever the form, who are trying to imagine a different way.
But why not just go to the Rotary Club?
Well, we want to talk about spiritual things.
Right. And by the way, you meet at a pool hall, right?
We do meet at a pool hall slash bar. So we want to talk about spiritual things with spirits.
Right. Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
So, I mean, where do you go to have the deep conversations about life?
Right.
You know, about metaphysics, about the big story, about why we're here, or maybe if we're even here for a reason. Like, where can you go and genuinely ask this? The churches are, you know, the tradition I was in, I preached sermons, 40-minute sermons every week, and we asked those big questions. We just didn't allow for, I would suggest, maybe more creative, bigger answers.
You said there was no place for you guys to come back to. So you left a place and probably a worldview of a particular sort. Did you come back? Was the place... I'm working out the question as I go here. Did the place no longer exist because of your new worldview? Or did it never really exist in the first place?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, the place didn't change. I changed.
Hmm.
And I think that's fair. And the Progressive Faith Collective is not for everyone. One of the things that I sort of valued and spent my life doing was trying to convince people to think like me. You know, here's what you need to believe in order to be a good person, in order to go to heaven, in order, you know, to please God. And, you know, I think one of the things that I've come to realize as a pastor is it's no longer about colonizing people with my agenda for them or with my beliefs for them, but rather allowing, you know, Christian language, the Spirit of God to emerge in them and help them become who they are, which may not look like my vision for them, may not look like your vision for them, but is actually something far more beautiful if we only give them the space and the room to live into that.
How do you stand on a particular side? And sorry for the language. And because that struck me as a little political, I do want to say that part of the reason I'm here today is to make Drew Marshall great again. So we wanted to get that plug in there. And hopefully he's still listening and maybe got a smile out of him somewhere along the line. So you've got those lines, those partisan sort of political, evangelical, fundamental, all these labels. How do you now, and where would you put yourself? You know, what kind of a worldview? What do you call yourself? I'm a believer. I'm a this. I'm a that. And the moment you name it, you know, you step into something, right? It's so, and it becomes almost philosophical in a way. It's profoundly theological too. I'm wondering how do you speak to that? How do you deal with that?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I identify, and it's kind of simple and it's broad, but I identify as a Christian, period. And I just leave it there. Now, some people don't want to identify as a Christian. I still want to identify with the Christian tradition. I think it's big and I think it's beautiful. A lot of my former colleagues and friends would probably say I don't belong in that category. I would tend to argue that whoever wants to identify as Christian ought to be able to identify as Christian. When we were thinking about naming Progressive Faith Collective, there was a lot of sense like, do we really want to put progressive in the name? Because that's a label, that's a category.
Right.
So the answer, just to be really crass, is, you know, it searches well on Google.
Right.
So that's one of the...
So it's all about social media.
Well, one of the problems about that gave cause to us emerging is how do you find each other? There's people in faith communities all over the city, all over North America, who are asking these big questions. But how do you find other people if you're not allowed to ask the questions who are asking them? So some people might be Googling, you know, progressive Christianity or whatever. So we wanted to make sure that we would be found so that people who are looking for a new place of belongingness, of inclusion, sort of a new people, that they would find us and that they would know they belong.
So speaking of finding people online, it's progressivefaithcollective.com. There's a couple L's in there. There's a couple S's. Make sure you spell it right, but I bet it comes up either way. People can find you on Facebook as well. And what are you hoping? I mean, if people do go to visit the site, I think there's a newsletter there they can sign up for, or at least a way of staying in touch.
Yeah, they can sign up for our mailing list. We get together right now. It's once a month we get together. So check that out. It's pretty laid back. It's, you know, nobody's trying to convert anybody. Nobody says you got to believe anything. We have no doctrinal statement. Check out what we believe when you get to the page. We had a lot of fun with that. But progressivefaithcollective.com.
And the next time you're meeting is November 25th, I believe.
November 25th.
Yeah, yeah. And to be determined on location, there's a little bit of a hiccup in the ongoing schedule or the location.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct. It'll likely be sort of West Toronto-ish.
Another reason to check them out online, progressivefaithcollective.com. So you come out of a conservative tradition. How do you look back at the wave, the curve, the sine wave, if we chart this out? How do you get to where you are today? You know, I'm sure there are other people asking similar questions who are listening. You know, it's a journey. You know, we can talk about all of those things, and it's a conversation. It really is. It seems to me at the pool hall, you want to build relationships. That's kind of what's primary and foremost. But yeah, as a pastor, how do you get from your traditional fundamentalistic university seminary to Claremont in the U.S. I think that's, you know, for those of us or for people who might know, that's a pretty big leap.
It's a really big leap. I think the biggest sort of part where the cards started to crumble, if you will, or tumble, was when my daughter was born. Our daughter, my wife Marisol, and I have three kids, but our oldest is our daughter. And when she was born, I held this little child in my hands and thought, like, if God really is a parent, like Isaiah talks about, if God really is a parent, like the New Testament completely, you know, constantly refers to, where Jesus refers to you know, his father, his Abba. If God really is a parent, then how could a God ever send something or someone that he loves so much, like I love this child, to, you know, hell? How could you ever condemn this child for not loving or not doing what I wanted? I would always love this child and want the best for this child no matter what. So once you begin to kind of create sort of these points of cognitive dissonance, you get to know some, you know, for me, I got to know some gay people and I realized, wait, they actually aren't bad people. They're not sinning. They just, their love looks different than, you know, heterosexual love. So you, it begins to create this cognitive dissonance that, you know, some people will ask the question and sort of lean into cognitive dissonance. Other people will sort of suppress it. For me, intellectual integrity really matters. So when I begin to kind of say, hey, you know, A plus B, you know, doesn't necessarily equal this, I began to explore, I began to read, and that can be dangerous when you actually look for answers to the big questions.
Yeah, the big questions sometimes, it seems to me, are unanswerable. You know, they're, well, later on in the show, we're going to be talking to a couple of people, and I think you know one of them in particular, Trip, and we're going to be talking about the film The Road to Edmund, which you know, Sean and I were joking about earlier, it's been referred to as Antichrist propaganda, I believe. I mean, sometimes these big questions are, we don't want to go there, and there's reasons for that, because I guess we're afraid of the doors. Maybe it's going to open. And is it really just about faith and doubt? Do we not? Are we that afraid of doubt? I mean, isn't doubt the shadow cast by faith, really, in truth?
Yeah, if it was just about faith and doubt, I think it would be a lot easier of a conversation. Sadly, I think it's a lot of it is about power. I think it's about power. I think it's about sustaining organization. I think it's about sustaining models of church and ecclesiology and economics that may be built upon some foundations that maybe need to be deconstructed.
Right.
So I would suggest that it is more than just faith versus doubt. I think a lot of religious organizations are okay with doubt. What they're not okay with is the implications of doubt for them.
Where it might actually take you, organizing the Progressive Faith Collective and so on.
Right.
Difference.
Taking people away from, you know, loyalty to their group in order to find something bigger.
You know, if we're wired for love, if that is the presupposition, and I'm going to say that's probably where you begin, if you call yourself a Christian, capital C, and we can talk about what that exactly means, lots of different traditions and so on. But if we're wired for love, why is it so hard? Why do we have so much trouble with it? Why is it about division and compartments and this and us and them? And instead of similarity through difference, it's difference and difference and more difference.
Yeah, I studied this quite a bit when I was doing my doctoral work in kind of setting up Progressive Faith Collective. And I think there's actually, and I'm not an evolutionist psychologist, but I think there's a lot of work done about that in-group, out-group thing and how it sort of protects the tribe and how we other and, you know, scapegoating and kind of projecting all of our anxieties onto, you know, the doubter and that was one of the hardest things for me when I was in the conservative kind of wing of the Christian tradition, was you would get accused of being divisive, you'd be accused of being subversive in the negative way for simply asking, well, what if there is no hell? Or what if, you know, gay love is equal and valid just as heterosexual love is? Or what if transgender actually is a thing that we need to try and understand and explore and lean into rather than, you know, shun and sweep under? And I would have, you know, kids in my congregation. I led a mid to large size congregation, and I knew, I looked out Sunday after Sunday, and there were kids that were sitting there whose parents would maybe disown them if they came out, and I knew they were gay.
Well, and Trevor, it's very relevant for those of us who you know are watching our news feeds. Just recently, in fact, west of Toronto, Kitchener Waterloo area, I believe, or London area, somewhere in Ontario, I think. So yeah, check it out, Google it. A woman was sort of outed in a variety of ways at her church, and actually asked to leave. And so this is one of the key issues, it seems to me, for the church today. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, David, I would only say it's an issue for the church about 10 years ago,
right,
that the church hasn't kind of dealt with. And I think, the tradition that I came out of, sort of evangelicalism, what they're trying to do is sort of avoid the tough questions on this one. What they're trying to do is say, you know, well, we're welcoming, you know, if you're not heterosexual, so if you're gay, if you're bi, if you're, you know, whatever your kind of sexual orientation is, you're welcome here, but you just, you know, you can't fully participate here. And it's frustrating because if I invited you and your lovely wife Elizabeth over for dinner and said, look, you're welcome, please come, we're having some people over for dinner, but then we were all sitting around the table and said, but you can't sit here because you love Elizabeth. And then we're all cleaning up and we're all pitching in and we're all doing our part. And we said, but you guys can't participate because you love Elizabeth. I mean, how welcome are you really? You're not. You're there to observe, to watch relationship, to observe relationship, and to have sort of our experience thrust upon you, to colonize you. We're trying to convert you to become more like us, which I would argue is not, the Christian way.
Yeah. Sadly, I lost track there, Trevor, because I realized I've never been invited to a dinner party at your house. So it's
craft dinner on me.
That's right. Excellent. I'll look forward to that. What are the four R's? Refuge, recovery, relationship, reflection. Talk about that. It's on the business card. It's on the website, I'm sure. Can you take us a little deeper? We've got to wrap up in a couple of minutes, but yeah, can we go a little deeper?
So refuge, I think, is one that is really important. We talked a little bit about it, but when people are asking these questions, and if they're brave enough and courageous enough to do it out loud, I just want to say to you, good for you. You're not alone. Keep going. But you can get beat down. You can be made to think, especially if you've only ever known sort of a conservative expression of your faith or your faith tradition, you can begin to feel like you are the bad person. You are the divisive one. You are asking questions that ought not to be asked. And we exist to say, look, come to us, and you're allowed to ask those here. We are a refuge, a safe place for you to be. We're a place of recovery. If people are trying to kind of escape a cult, and I'm not calling, you know, any conservative expression a cult, but what I'm saying is, if you're trying to get out, then usually what will happen is you'll find a place where you can kind of heal and do the work. And usually the people who do kind of cult recovery stuff are conservative Christians. So if you are trying to kind of move into a faith expression that is bigger than conservative Christianity, you may need to recover. And it's hard to recover in places that you feel have wounded you. So we want to be a place where people can just heal and find refuge. Then we want to be a place where people find relationship. I think the hardest thing for people to kind of maybe get out of their faith tradition is the people that they love are there. It's their people, it's their tribe, it's their relationships, it's where they find existential purpose. And so it's where they find value and meaning. So what we want to do is say, look, no, there are other people you can identify with if you want to. You know, no pressure, no coercion. You know, nobody gets paid. We have zero budget. We just exist as a group of people who want to find other people in our tribe and who are asking these kind of questions. And then the last one, last R, is reflection, where you can reflect. And it's not going to be me having the right answer, trying to tell you now how to think. Not at all. It's let's have this conversation, and you'll probably end up in a different place than I am.
What's a non-negotiable for you, for the Progressive Faith Collective? I mean, It seems to me it's about growth. It's about new ideas and new things. And isn't that what reading a book is about and stepping into a new conversation, or at least I hope it is, reading a new poem or going to see a film, you know, opening, you know, walking outdoors, taking the dog for a walk. What can I see today if I have eyes to see? What's, I mean, embedded in that question too is frankly, what's next for you, I suppose. There's a fair bit going on there.
Yeah, I think I would say I'm not sure we'd use the language as non-negotiable. Mm. I think we'd say everything's up for negotiation, right, in a sense.
Right.
What's next?
How about love?
Is love negotiable?
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that's even a hard one because yes, we're for love. Now, you know, my previous tradition would say the reason why they're excluding, you know, certain expressions of sexuality is because of love. You know, a lot of Christians argued that the reason why, you know, races should be segregated in, you know, the Deep South is because of love. So, you know, even what are we projecting onto that word love becomes a thing. So I think it needs to feel like love. I think it needs to kind of behave in a way that is inclusive and creative and generous. And so those are kind of things that I don't think we're always going to achieve those or hit those. But I think we want to create a space where everyone is welcome, and you're allowed to be you.
I think that's a pretty good, it's a pretty nice place to end our conversation together. As with everyone today, Cheryl, and I'm sure the few others that I'm going to be talking with, I feel like we've just barely scratched the surface, and I hope you're going to stick around. Got a couple of interesting guests coming our way. Trevor Brisbane, ProgressiveFaithCollective.com. You can reach them at info@ProgressiveFaithCollective.com. Refuge, recovery, relationship reflection. Check them out online. Sign up for the on the email list there, and you'll hear more about it. November 25th coming up for another gathering. Check them out. Trevor, thanks for hanging out with me today and going a little deeper. I really do appreciate it.
Great to be here. Thanks, David.